B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Judy Batista, NFL Network, reported yesterday that the NFL is considering, with their medical experts, putting teams into a bubble for the NFL playoffs. At first thought, you think, well, what's the point of that? You're going to play an entire regular season without a bubble and then do it for the playoffs? That might be your thought right away. But I think this idea makes plenty of sense for the NFL. First of all, let's hope we get to the NFL playoffs. Let's hope that this is a successful season and they get all the way through and they're able to complete a regular season, which would be great. I think baseball sort of getting back on track in the last couple of weeks has given and should give everyone more hope that the NFL can play a season. So again, Judy Batista said yesterday, Dr. Alan Sills, as well as Troy Vincent, he's the vice president of football ops for the NFL. They've discussed the idea of a bubble. Here's the thought behind it: a secure environment for the postseason to be completed with no issues in the NFL. The idea is players get hurt in the regular season and miss games all the time under normal circumstances. So if players are to contract COVID and miss time in the regular season of the NFL, missing a couple of games or three games, well, that's something that is happening every year in the NFL where guys get injured and miss games. But in the playoffs, that derails you. Bad injuries in the playoffs would derail you. And I think the thought is this is an injury that can be prevented by, you know, a quarantine and then staying in a bubble. We've seen how successful bubbles are. We saw it in the NBA. We've seen it in the NHL. Every week, zero positive tests, zero positive tests. They've done a great job of managing it. I think the NFL doesn't want to get to the playoffs, put through all this work and safety protocols to have a season that their players feel is a safe environment and get all the way to the end, and then have, let's give the example of the Super Bowl champs, the Kansas City Chiefs go into the playoffs and Patrick Mahomes has a positive test. That disrupts the entire balance of your league with a quarterback or a key marquee player, you know, being out with COVID because they need X amount of days and X amount of negative tests to be able to come back. Whereas they'd rather say, okay, because we have so many fewer teams now to work with after, you know, really once the wild card round is over, you've got a really manageable number of teams left. We feel like it's a possibility because so many teams are already home and done with the year. It's a smaller amount of teams. Most of the teams are gone within a 2-week time period. Right? From the wild card game to the AFC and NFC title games, that's 2 weeks. 15 days has gone by, and you're down to two teams. So the teams quickly exit, the number dwindles quickly, and if you're a Super Bowl champ, you've spent a max 5 weeks in the bubble. It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
It makes a lot of sense to avoid a major catastrophic COVID positive test of a big player.
The sheer numbers of the teams when you're talking about roster, personnel, coaches, staff, it's going to make it a huge process. And if you're doing an actual bubble like they're doing with the NHL and the NBA, you're going to have to deal with just more in terms of numbers. Maybe not overall. Like you said, the number of teams that you're going to limit it to would be helpful in that. But I think the main catalyst for it is the fact that the bubbles for hockey and basketball have been so successful. Say, well, if we get to that point and we really don't want to risk it, as you said, having the whole dynamic of the playoffs change because a key player ends up having to sit out. Well, they did it in Orlando and they did it in Toronto and Edmonton and they did it in these places and showed that you can really maintain the same infection level, hopefully of zero, and not have this outside force come in and disrupt what you have going on. So for the whole season, no, that is, I think, off the table. I don't think it's even a consideration. But for the playoffs, once you get down to a handful of teams and you want to make sure that those teams continue on a level playing field without having COVID be a factor in it, I can't think of a better way. It's not going to be fun for the guys who have to be away for 5 weeks, like you say, you know, if you make it as far as the Super Bowl. But if a team has invested that much so far in their season, done everything accordingly, and they don't want to be derailed in what could be, anyway, Beetle, a tricky time with flu season ramping up at that time, and if COVID is still an issue at that point, God, I hope it's not. I hope that infection numbers continue to go down to the point where it won't be that much of an issue. But if it is, you know they got to be thinking about it. It's got to be a consideration for all the reasons you mentioned and the success that the other teams have had and so the other leagues have had.
They're going to have two bubbles. They won't do one. The NFL playoffs expand this year. Don't forget, 7 teams get in each conference now.
Right,
14
right.
teams in the playoffs. And let's give a number of a 53-man roster plus a handful of other players. You're talking like, we'll say 60 players per team if you're able to bring some practice squad guys, right? So 60 players a team plus coaching staffs. You're up with just coaching staffs and players. You're up over 500 guys. So that's before you add in any support staff and trainers and doctors and front office guys. Those are some big numbers. So they're going to have two. They'll have an AFC and an NFC. And then where's the Super Bowl going to happen? Is it still happening in Tampa? Is that still the thought? You could still have it there. You have the two bubbles. You sort of do your best to securely travel those two teams to the Super Bowl site, wherever it is you're going to do it. If Tampa does get the Super Bowl and they don't have fans, man, what a hose job that is, being a Super Bowl host. You got to get them another one. You got to give them another one ASAP if that's where we're at. Again, who knows? Maybe we're in a great spot and there's the half capacity at the Super Bowl. I don't know. It's like a lifetime away right now, the way the world is working. So I think the bubble idea could work. But that also means you're not playing in front of fans. It means you're playing in a very similar environment to what the NBA and the NHL has. The good news for the league is they've got more than 3 months to plan it. 4 months. Doesn't happen till January.
They've got a lot more ramp-up time, and they have the benefit of being able to consult with some of these other leagues, should they choose to. And you got to believe they would choose to find
they
out.
They may have been kicking this idea around for the last month.
Right.
We don't even know.
Yeah, NFL.
Right? No, we're pushing through.
They're going to do it.
The fan thing to me, there's going to be plenty of places I don't think that have fans.
Okay, well, Hardy, I agree with that. We have been, at least I have been, I think you have too. I'm always ridiculously impressed with how much setup there is in Super Bowl cities for the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
How much preparation, how much organization, and they roll into town for a Super Bowl, and they do it at other sites. They do it in Indianapolis for the Combine. Mm-hmm. They do it in the Super Bowl host cities. They do it in the draft cities now. The league is so big and has so much, you know, manpower figuring things out. I have full faith in the NFL, if they want to do bubbles, that they can set them up in 8 weeks' time. They could have it ready to go. They got plenty of time to do this right. The setup in the NFL is ridiculous. How many things are coordinated?
Well, the resources that they have, the size of the league and the number of people they have working on this that are not, you know, quote unquote football people, they're event people. They really are. They're planning people.
People that don't even care about football probably working for that league and doing a hell of a job.
Exactly. So yeah, if anybody would be up to the task, I think it would be them. It's the changing of the situation that is going to be the toughest thing for them to deal with.
Right. They do big logistical events that I don't think the other leagues really have. Yes, the other leagues have all-star games, but I don't think it's logistically what Super Bowls, Pro Bowls, drafts, combines are in the NFL.
No.
And credit to, though, by the way, these other leagues that don't typically do these big, you know, moving the league type events have done a great job. NHL and NBA have both done a great job.
It's amazing to me, though, for someone who didn't think they would be able to pull off the bubble for the NHL and basketball. I said, no, they're not going to do this. If they're going to play, they're going to play in their home arenas, and they're going to do it that way. It just seems silly. So, yeah, the idea of moving even just the playoff teams in football into a bubble and completing a postseason that way, I would have said 3 months ago, you're out of your mind. They're pulling it off in basketball and hockey. Who's to say that football couldn't do the same thing? I didn't think this first one was possible, and it's not only possible, it's so far successful.
I think football's doing a good job so far, too. Let's talk about that. Your calls, 617-779-0985. Zoe going to join us on the line? Coming up, we'll talk to Zoe next. That's on the way.
Wake up, lip readers.
Jacob in Dorchester, are you an expert lip reader?
It's the show whose name is on everyone's lips.
Hey!
Zolak and Bertrand.
Well, you might need the lip reading because you don't listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The training camp coverage today. Bob Soucy and Scott Zolak, driven by the all-wheel drive Honda Pilot at your New England Honda dealers. Zoe joins us now. Zoe, what's up?
Oh, yeah.
I can't tell you how much I hate Tom Morgan right now. The worst free joint in the history of the sport.
Turn it up.
And Hardy?
Yeah.
What'd I tell you last night? I'm going to drive in. I know it's late on a Thursday afternoon. I'm going to drive in and slit your throat for doing the Kennedy Stidham stuff without me.
I'm not doing it anymore.
He's tapping out.
I'm tapping out. I don't feel good about it. And I told Beetle that you were going to be upset about it. And Beetle said he doesn't care. It doesn't work like that.
I didn't say anything. And you guys know me. I got a 21-year-old and I got a 16-year-old daughter at home. And all I did was put the phone down. I said, I want you two to watch this and tell me what you think. They go, what is this, Dad? What is this? And I said, that's all I need to know, guys. I appreciate it.
What do you think? Okay, never mind. We'll move on. So
it's not good, Hardy. It's not good.
We asked Bob Soucy, what we could expect from what was going on down there today. He gave us a very Bob Soucy like answer. Very professional.
Right, vanilla.
It wasn't vanilla, but
it was vanilla.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you, what were you guys doing down there today?
Okay, so here's what we did. So we have monitors all set up. And credit to Kraft Productions and Matt Smith and his whole crew and Freddie Kirsch. And Mr. Kraft was actually there practice today. And thanks to Bill for allowing us to have the access. We set it up like our booth. So what we did, Bob was on my left, and you guys have been in our booth. I'm on the right. We had our headsets. We had monitors. We called practice today. So we went top to bottom. As soon as practice started on the line, start to finish, we called the entire thing.
Were they in the stadium or were you guys outside?
We were outside set up under a tent.
Okay.
In the bleachers where the normal fans would be. You know the bleachers right up against the Empire Field House?
Yes.
Yep.
So phenomenal setup. And boy, did I have an awakening today. Real quick before we get into the Patriots, there's no way college football. There's no way college football could pull this off based on the hoops we had to jump through to get to where we had to go to pull this off today, to do the interviews and the social distancing and the 6-foot monitors that we had to wear to keep our there's no way. This is a professional football team, the NFL.
So when you say 6-foot monitors, you should probably clarify what that means. People may not know about this. We mentioned it a few months back, but there's a device that you guys wear, right?
Correct. For me to even be there today, and I didn't say this on air with you guys, I had to pass a couple COVID tests this week, which I did. And I'm a doorknob licker, so I've been everywhere, and I lick doorknobs, and thank God I passed those. I'm kidding. I've been social distancing. I've been listening to the rules. So I passed two of those tests. And then you have to go through this whole process of security at the main security command to where they assign us a personal device that we wear that they monitor our positioning. Now, not necessarily they, but you can't get within 6 feet of somebody else wearing that device without an alarm going off. And this is at the pro level. I have no clue how college football would ever pull this off. So me being Mr. Hey, let's play football, college football. You're not playing college football after what I saw today.
Wow.
So
you were, right? 2 days ago, you were saying Big Ten's going to play.
I don't think they're playing.
What about SEC?
And so this is you think it's because of the resources of the NFL to be able to create a safe environment, and the colleges just not having the know-how or leadership or whatever it might be? Is that what you're meaning by that?
Yeah, maybe it's the overtop resources that they have because they're not technically in a real bubble like the NHL and the NBA have done a fantastic job because mm-hmm. you can't do that with, but they've invested quite well. And you just worry about the regular student population coming in, because these are guys really that have jobs, you know, and professional football's a job. So you're sticking around with the same people. You're not mingling with students and all that. I just don't see how college would be able to do that without saying, hey, let's let our athletes come to campus and play. Let's not have students come here and study.
There's also a headline today. I know it's Georgia State, and I know that's, you know, not exactly Georgia, but Georgia State quarterback is not going to play this year. He had COVID, and now he has the heart condition.
Jeez.
So that's kind of odd. That's a college football headline that's making its rounds today, that he's out for the year after contracting the heart condition.
It was great to be down there today. You know me, Beetle. I've been itching at it. I've been pissed off. We can't be down there. But, to be up close and personal was great.
So what about the quarterbacks? What do we got, Zoe? How you feeling?
I think we got a 300 monster right now. If you ask me, hey, Zoe, we got a game on Monday. Who's your starting quarterback? I think Brian Hoyer is your starting quarterback on Monday. Now, that could change in a week. But I'm telling you what, if I'm anybody that's around Cam Newton right now, I get him and I grab him by two fists by the shirt and I shake him. I'm like, hey, buddy, it's go time. It's there for the taking if you want it. And he just, I tell you what, he's fun to watch, man. I mean, he doesn't stop moving. He's in. Same thing we've seen in warm-ups when we call games against him and in the game. He's good. He can play. They all can play. They're all different. That's the intriguing thing here. You know, we talked to McDaniels. You'll see it Sunday night when you watch the show. They're all different. And there might be something that is three-headed thing. I don't know. I don't know that. I was there one day. But, I mean, they're intermixing guys with groups and that. I said this. I truly believe it. I looked at Bob. I'm like, you can't get into the who was 10 or 13 or who was this or that, because I look at the practice from start to finish. To me, Brian Hoyer looks the most comfortable guy right now. Stidham looks like it's a guy in baseball or hockey that's gripping a stick too tight right now, if that makes sense. And maybe Cam has put that pressure on him, and maybe that's what they're looking at.
What about Greg Bedard's assessment that Stidham better figure it out soon or this is going to be over?
I agree. You can't have three bad days. I threw three picks my first day of practice way back in the day, and they said that's the quickest thing to get you out of here, you know, turning the football over. Big thing about Cam, he really doesn't turn it over. Now, there's some inaccuracies in that, but, man, does he have – he's got the pizzazz and flavor that comes with the position playing it. He's going to be fun to watch if he makes it and makes this thing a go.
You've been talking about his throwing motion. What did you see now that you got to see it in person today?
I thought Hoyer threw the ball the best today. The ball popped coming out of Hoyer's hand. Cam, here's the thing with Cam, and I think Josh will elaborate more on this with the program because we talked to Josh about it. Once Cam gets past that thinking stage, and to be fair to Cam here, guys, and I'm going to call it like I see it, he's got to eliminate the thinking part of it, because I think when he could cut it and turn it loose, you see those flashes of it. And then you see the times where, okay, I'm going to hold on a little longer. I'm going to hesitate, and I'm going to be a little late with the ball in this or a little inaccurate. But he's a man among men. He's big, dude. I mean, and Roethlisberger's big, but he's fat big, if that makes any sense. I haven't seen a guy like this in a long time to have this type of stature. But, yeah, he's chiseled.
How the receivers look?
How's the tight ends look?
Am I still on?
Yeah. How are the tight ends?
That's the interpretation here. Ryan Izzo's your best tight end right now.
Oh, God.
To credit Izzo, he's out there busting his ass making plays. They got a long way to go with the tight ends.
Whoa, so the young kids are not there yet, huh?
No N'Keal Harry today for whatever reason. Julian looks like Julian. Julian looks great. And I know you'll get things where there's a day where Julian might not be there or he'll miss this period. I think just at his age and his miles on his body, he's on a pitch count. And I think they're going to protect that because they know if they lose that guy, you're cooked. I see nothing out of Sanu right now.
That's not fun. How about Tamir Bird? Him at all today?
I'm being honest. One day down there, I'm being honest here.
Yeah, no, we get it. Yeah. It's only a snapshot. But Bird, do you notice him at all?
He looks quick. I mean, we've watched a lot of drills. This is why I say, hey, I would go with Hoyer in 4 days because Hoyer looks good top to bottom across the board. Bird looks like he moves well through all the drills, but I didn't see him make any big plays today. What you're going to have to see within the next 2 weeks is guys like Cam Newton, Bird get together, make some plays while somebody up in the booth or on the film. Cam's going to have to start making some big plays and not just being part of the rotation and just trying to get your reps in, if you know what I mean.
Any kicking down there today? How's Rawasser? You see any kicks?
I didn't see any kicks today. We didn't do any special teams today. I tell you what, it was a fun, enjoyable practice to watch. There was a lot of popping, and you got a lot of the big coaches mic'd up. I love sound effects with the NFL Network. You're going to get a ton of that injected into this, which is going to make this a fun show that we put together for everybody, Patriots fans that have not been able to get down there.
When is it airing? Because we seem to have a...
Saturday night, 7 p.m., WBZ Channel 4.
Excellent. All right, we nailed that down.
Real quick, whatever tier these media guys are, Mike Reese cannot sit down the whole time. He's, like, so excited to be there, too, I think. Like, he's in that first tier with Giardi. They're over there by themselves. And
well, he can't sit down because if he did, he couldn't see.
You should see his forehead, how red it is today. I mean, it was hot out there today. But I thought tempo, the big thing that stood out to me from other years, where it seemed like, you know, you get out there, you go through the motions, you lollygag. They're popping around today. Like, they're moving well, and Bill's in the middle of it. All the coaches, you could hear all the coaches coaching it up. And I think that's because you don't have the music pumping continuously and you don't have the fans around, and we're not up on the red level. We were literally right there, 6th row, 50-yard line. So you could hear everything. It was awesome.
You got anything good? Anything good? Any things you could describe without saying what was said? You know, anything like that?
Secondary looks pretty freaking good, man.
All right.
Pretty freaking good.
Okay.
We'll take that.
All right, then.
J.C. Jackson, Ed. He pops to me, man.
Did you make the case at all down there that we should set up the show there next week?
We should. And I don't think that's possibly going to happen.
Okay. All right. Well, you tried.
You want to drive down there three? I just got some expensive shock beetle down there at Seasonal. You're going to know what that's all about there, Daddy.
Did you call your guy yet for me?
I called him. He has not called me back. I'm going to call him as soon as I get home and put this expensive shock in my pool.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Stadium, so, but hey, guys,
don't rub it in your hair. I know you like you like the way it looks when you do that, but it's dangerous.
Well, I just had my hair dyed, so I can't. I don't want like those type of tips there. But
okay,
Hardy, I appreciate the time today to allow me the ability to be down here, be around football. You guys are great, and I'll be back in tomorrow. But I appreciate the opportunity to be down here with the team today.
Well, thanks, you're welcome. Guys. As you know, it was up to me whether or not you were able to go, and I was happy I could allow that to
facilitate.
Happen. Like anybody asked me what I think. Ever.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Zoe.
All right. Bye.
I love you guys.
Right,
love you, Zoe.
Bye. Scott Zolak with us. Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline.
That football practice. I love you.
Bob Soucy and Scott Zolak, their coverage today from training camp driven by the all-wheel drive Honda Pilot at your New England Honda dealer.
I love you so much. Saw football. Was that a practice? I love you.
This is how the pros.
That's great. Thank you, Beef. You're proud of yourself.
Do Sports Talk Radio.
Your microphone is down. Hey, Marconi.
Just hit the button.
Turn the mic up.
I'm just
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Open phone lines for you, 617-779-0985.
Rosa Farms, RIP.
I miss those smoothies,
one of the best
man.
Smoothies going. Let's.
We'll take your calls on that.
We'll take your calls on that. And everything
What's
else.
What's the best smoothie
the
you can't get anymore?
Preferably one with peanut butter involved.
Mm. Tiger Woods, 3 strokes off the lead down there at TPC Boston for the Northern Trust as it returns to the Boston area. McCarthy's been given the golf highlights and the updates. I appreciate that, Shortcake.
Oh, I'll tell you what, I missed being there at that tournament this year. That was always fun.
Apparently, McCone is down there now.
No, he's not.
Oh, come on.
Honest to God.
Well, Kristen is in producing with us today, and she sent me an Instagram story that I think has something to do with McCone, but I don't follow McCone on Instagram, and he's got a private account, so I've requested that I can follow him.
Is McCone down there today? Yes, he is. McCone is everywhere. You said the other day, oh, this won't offend me that he's at Patriots training camp. It would offend me if he had special access to, like, you know, the golf tournament.
Well, Hurley's down there too. I texted with Hurley last night, and he said that it's been great because you can, you know, you can walk around with the groups and have, you know, like, the access is still restricted, obviously.
Yes.
But he said no crowds. He said, yeah, you can get really close. You want to gawk, but you feel like a stalker because there's hardly anyone there. But he says it's eerie and weird, but awesome because there's no one around. You're just watching
a round of golf.
And you're,
it'd be like walking around a golf course on any other day, like
except
stalking a group.
Except the group is not like, you know, two dudes from across the street. It's Dustin Johnson and Tiger Woods and Ian Poulter. And you're right there and they're right there and there's no one else around. McCone.
Damn it, McCone.
I can't complain about it. I didn't put in for credentials or anything else because I just figured, you know, we weren't going to be down there. And what am I going to do? What am I going to do?
As New England's premier golf talk show host, you are not interested in being there. You're just
no-showed. Well, no, I couldn't make, you know, a case for myself as to why I needed to be there or what my presence there would do for the audience. I'm always thinking of the audience. I have the soul of an athlete,
yeah,
but the brain of a broadcaster.
Oh, here we go again with this.
You understand?
There
this guy.
And I'm
no
always,
sports fan. He has no sports soul as a fan. It's gone. It's been sucked out of you.
No, I have the soul of an athlete. You know, what would me being there be able to, what could I convey to the audience that I couldn't do by just, you know, witnessing it from afar?
See, if you were a fan, you could convey that fan experience, but you're not.
Well, I don't have the soul of a fan anymore. No,
a couple of other newsy items. By the way, I heard in the headlines today that Cal Ripken Jr. had prostate cancer and had surgery and is now considered cancer-free. That's great news. But when I heard that story, I don't want to believe that Cal Ripken Jr. is of the age of someone who would be in the age of people that get prostate cancer.
I thought the exact same thing.
And then I looked up how old he is, and he's 59 years old. And I thought, how?
That's still a little young for prostate cancer.
That's the age you got to start probably worrying about that.
Well, you get the screenings even, you know, well before that.
Before that. So isn't he sort of in that age range at 59?
Who's the guy that we've talked to, the Hall of Famer, that has been on with us at the Super Bowl multiple times? Talking about
Mike Haynes. Mike Haynes is a big proponent of getting tested and making sure you talk to your doctor. And that's one of the things he's worked on for many years.
And it's so common later in life. And I heard it said before, when my dad, before he died, it was not what led to his death, but he had prostate cancer. And his doctor told him, he said, look, if you live long enough as a man, you are almost certainly going to deal with this in some way, shape, or form. It's going to be.
But I don't think it's uncommon at that age, right? At 50, it's not like it's.
No, it's not.
Right. So when I heard that, I'm like, no, no way. He's a young guy. And I'm like, oh, my God, he's 59. It feels like he was just playing.
One in nine men, they say.
Cal Ripken Jr., one of my all-time favorites.
Oh, yeah.
Love that guy.
He was the man.
He, too, had a soul of an athlete.
Good news for him. So glad to hear that. Glad it was caught early, and he's cancer-free now. Also this, Lieutenant Governor Karen Polito has said, thank you to Mark at NBC Sports Boston, or an NBC Boston news site, sending this over. Fans at Gillette Stadium later this season has not been ruled out. Quote, we would be willing to look at the opportunity in the future, depending on what the circumstances are. That feels sort of open-ended and not committing to anything, but it has not been ruled out yet. So there is hope for there to be fans at Gillette Stadium. There will not be any fans at Gillette Stadium for at least September. And I think the league is going to wipe out fans at all the stadiums for at least a period of a month or something.
Try and level the playing field a little bit in that regard and get everybody on the same page, Hardy, protocol-wise.
They've got people inside their facilities right now who have had to pass multiple tests. They've had to have multiple negative tests, and they're wearing monitors to stay 6 feet apart from each other. I just don't think they're going to love the idea of bringing in, for lack of a better word, randos into the stadium.
Yahoos.
Like, you know, I know that people say, well, what does that matter? They're not going to come in contact with the players. No, they're not. They're not going to be down there on the field level with players. But when you open up to fans, you've got to open up to a lot more staff that work in and around the stadium and behind the scenes in the stadium and have the potential to cross paths with individuals who do work on the football side.
Well, it doesn't.
Hardy, you and I have seen that firsthand. We know what that looks like in those tunnels down below. And when you add more people into the mix, you add a lot more support staff into the mix and security and food workers and everything. And I don't know if they're going to have an appetite for that.
No, and this is where it gets back to a public health concern as opposed to we're not talking about the private health of the football players by letting the fans back in. We're talking about the state and other regions being at a place where you can assemble that number of people from a public health perspective. It may not affect one player on the field, but if you allow fans into Gillette Stadium and there ends up being an outbreak that you can either directly or indirectly attribute to that and other large mass gatherings, then it starts to affect everything. Schools, churches, yeah, maybe even your football team being able to play. So they don't want to upset the apple cart for the sake of allowing 20% of a stadium to enjoy a football game if it is going to diminish the progress that's been made on the public health side. I get that.
There's also this breaking news here in our building today, Hardy. I learned that the temperature scanner on the first floor that we use when we walk in the building has a name.
I thought you said breaking news. The temperature scanner that you must pass before you enter the building is complete nonsense. It just gives you a random number and it's not connected to anything.
My temperature was 96.8 today, and I'm like, well, that's a problem in the other direction.
Oh, wait, man. You might be ill.
Yeah. Okay, so go home right now.
My lowest reading ever was today, and that was 97.3.
I was 97.4. He beat me by 0.1 degree. His name is Artie.
According to who?
Our market manager.
Well, where does it say Artie on that thing?
What? It sounds like an Artie.
Well, it's the Artemis temperature scanner. His nickname is Artie.
Okay, I was going to say it's either going to be
it's
an
like
acronym.
Marty in the supermarket there, right? This is Artie.
Oh.
Please visit Artie every day.
I did.
We did. We visited this morning. He also checks to see if you're wearing a mask.
What happens if you're not?
He tells you to put one on.
He yells at you.
He also sounds slightly British. I don't know if you guys have picked up on that. He's got an accent.
I haven't heard him.
It's kind of a commanding presence.
Yeah, he's got sort of a British. I'm not sure if it's British though.
Does it say something when you what does it say?
Yes, it does. Listen to Artie. What have you been doing?
Proceed.
I'm probably on the call with T-Bone as I'm walking in the door.
He's got an accent.
He does.
I think he might be a Brit.
Hint of an accent.
You're supposed
to respect him because he's got the accent.
It works.
It does.
Is it Australian? Cockney. Is that like clever boy?
No,
it's not a Cockney accent. It's more of a
Cockney is not worthy of respect.
No,
that's you know, I mean, I don't know my geography of London very well, but
East London. Yeah.
I think Cockney is like Southie in terms of an accent.
Introducing Clever Boy.
DJ Tully says Artie the one man temperature party. That's what he is, Artie.
You know, I might do a scan on the way out.
I'm going to do a reading on the way out today just to see where I'm at.
Make sure I'm safe to get in my own car.
Hopefully I'm above 96.8.
It's
a problem.
You're running cold.
Yeah. Today's takeaways are next.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub. That's
Today's takeaways brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. If you've been waiting for in-person weekly coaching, you're in luck. All Awaken 180 locations have reopened and are accepting new clients. Awaken180weightloss.com. What are you giggling about?
We just got something sent over from Blue Dog. Blue Dog wants to let us know about something. This could be something we get into tomorrow if we can track it down by then. I don't even know if it's available yet, but you know how we have talked about candy corn in the past on this show?
Sure.
You enjoy mixing candy corn with peanuts.
I do.
It's something that you do now. Well, there is a new, most people look at candy corn and say, bleh.
Yeah, and those people are the worst.
What do you mean most people look at candy corn?
I think most people don't love candy corn.
I think you're wrong.
I think it's okay. Yeah, a couple pieces, you're okay. To have like more than that, it starts to taste like wax. Brock's has a new flavor of candy corn.
Okay.
Turkey dinner candy corn.
Gross.
Oh, that sounds awful. Full course meal
from NBC News. A full course meal presented in a unique mix of candy corn flavors. Brock's turkey dinner includes all the traditional Thanksgiving favorites, from roasted turkey, green beans, and stuffing, to ginger glazed carrots, cranberry sauce, and sweet potato pie. The sweet and savory Thanksgiving feast is now available, and I'm going to go try and track some of this down tonight for tomorrow's show.
Okay, and good, we should try it, but I saw this movie, and it's called Willy Wonka, and I believe that the gum...
How did we get this on television this fast? Wow! A full course meal presented in a unique mix of candy corn flavors. So there's a bag full of candy corn, and they are all different colors, and they have different flavors. Green beans, roasted turkey, cranberry sauce, ginger glazed carrots, sweet potato pie, stuffing. This is weird. But Zoe would absolutely be into trying this tomorrow. Look at what we've done for the... Just the Bellies smart food. We're crushing it on that front. I mean, we're in.
Listen, just the Bellies.
Just the Bellies. Killing it.
Who's the girl who tries the gum in Willy Wonka? It's not Veruca Salt. What's the kid's name who eats the.
Violet.
Violet Beauregard?
Yep.
And then a blueberry pie.
I would have said Veruca Salt.
And she turns into a blueberry.
Okay, then.
Turkey dinner, candy corn, green beans.
Zoe's going to love this. Speaking of which, Zoe was mentioned on SportsCenter within the last day.
Oh.
The year was 1992. Hugh Millen, Scott Zolak, Tom Hodson, and Jeff Carlson, all NFL legends, all started games at quarterback for the Patriots. They went 2-14. And that was the last time that New England had any instability at that position. Drew Bledsoe showed up the next year. He held the job until Tom Brady took over.
That felt like a shot.
What? It's just factual.
Felt like a shot. We'll play that for Zoe and get his reaction tomorrow. Thank you to Chris. Instructions on how to eat candy corn. Number one, open the bag. Number two, pour candy corn into the trash can. Number three, eat a Reese's peanut butter cup. I'm going to try and get some of this candy corn for tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.